If you have a consumer question, you're concerned or anything about that identity theft fraud help in the world of consumerism, Herb Weisbaum is here, and he's our good friend, and you can get your questions answered either text or call 312-981-7200. Let's say hello to Herb. Hi, Herb.
Wow, I didn't realize you guys whine so much about the weather in Chicago.
Oh.
Give me a break.
What's it like where you are, Herb?
Oh, it's cloudy and rainy, but I spent 11 long, snowy, cold years at Syracuse University and going to school and working in Syracuse. So a couple inches of snow is nothing, man.
Yeah, well, we're
I felt 30 below, and that was without the wind chill.
Yeah, well, no, we get 30 below here, and also, Herb, we're getting 15 inches of snow.
That, okay.
So,
yeah, but if you measure it in metric, it's a lot less.
That's the way we'll look at it. Yeah. Now, we're in the middle of a major, major storm, Herb. Major storm.
I remember when we get like an inch and a half here in Seattle, we like the city with like a snow plow and a half.
Right.
So that will shut us down for a month.
Oh, I remember years ago, I went to Nashville for the holidays for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was dating a girl whose parents lived in Nashville. So we went down to Nashville and they got a dusting of snow. And everything shut down.
Yeah.
Like everything. And I was laughing. I was like, what are you talking? It's not even, it was barely.
We shut down school once because it was going to be a little too cold in the 20s.
Well, this is how big a. Here's the thing, Herb, in the 20s. Here's the thing. Chicago public schools are not open today. And okay. And let me explain something to you. They very rarely close Chicago public schools.
Yeah.
I went to a public school when I was a kid, and I remember climbing through mountains of snow to get to to get to school. So it's pretty serious when they shut down the CPS. So
seriously, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Herb, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Very, very well.
Good. Tell everybody about you and what you do and all that cool stuff.
Sure. I live here in Seattle, Washington. I cover the consumer beat for a local radio station and also for NBCNews.com. I've been doing that for a long time, and my goal is to try to save people money and save them time and alert them to scams and just try to make you smarter consumers, because that's what we need to do to beat all the cons and scams and ripoffs and that's going on right now.
There you go. You can check them out at NBCNews.com, and your website is consumerman.com.
That's where I post all the articles I do, so it's real easy to find them all in one place.
We're going to talk about some of those articles, and including a fascinating interview, and we have some audio of this, where you talk to a former identity thief who's now fighting crime.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest. He was on the Secret Service Most Wanted list. Was on the run for many years, spent 6 years behind bars, and he can sort of share his insight into what he thinks the future of cybercrime is. And for all of us who are not criminals, it's not good news.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story, though, Herb. Really, it really is. So hang on, okay?
You got it.
Herb Weisbaum is with us. He visits with us once a month to help you, the consumer, with any needs and questions that you have. Get him in right now at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. And we'll jump into a conversation with Herb right after we take a break. All right. Welcome back. You playing this because of the Olympics?
No, it was supposed to be another song in this one.
I was going to say. I knew it had to be some kind of a. I was like, are you playing this Nadia's theme because of the Olympics? It works because the Olympics have started. So there you go. welcome back, everybody. Nick DiTullio here at 720 WGN. Snowy Friday morning. Be careful if you're out there. If you don't have to go out, stay in because it's gonna be nasty all weekend. Just hunker down. My dad, by the way, who works at the Jewels, said it was a madhouse last night. He worked last night. He said it was a madhouse. Like people were just like it was the end of the world. People were running around carts full of everything. I like the fact that everybody's like, go out and get your milk and egg or milk and bread. Get your milk and bread. That's like the big. Get about 12 loaves of bread and 16 gallons of milk. You'll be fine. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. If you have any consumer issues or needs or questions, Herb Weisbaum is here, 312-981-7200. I just want to mention very quickly, Dan, that I find it really comforting that we're running patio furniture commercials with the weather that it is right now.
Take our mind off things.
Makes you look forward to it. All right, let's get Herb back in here. Hey, Herb. Herb?
You never can shop too early for patio furniture.
No, you can never shop too early for patio furniture in the middle of a 15-inch snowstorm, I'll tell you right.
Absolutely.
All right, Herb, let's talk about the first story here, and people can check out consumerman.com. Equifax is launching a new thing called Lock an alert. It's a new service, and I read your piece on it, and it's got some pros and cons. And also, one of the things that I think people need to be explained to is what the difference is between this kind of service and a freeze, which we've talked about before. So tell us about this story.
So, obviously, Equifax is still trying to regain consumer trust following one of the largest data breaches ever in the history of the world, and 145 million people lost their personal information, including Social Security numbers, which is what identity thieves need to become you and do all kinds of damaging things. And first thing they did, by the way, is for people who want to do a freeze for free at Equifax, they've extended the deadline until June the 30th. So that was going to expire January 31st, and now they've now extended that to June 30th for a free freeze or unfreeze of your account. What they've offered is something called, it's a locking service, and that's called Lock and Alert, and we will talk in a second about the difference. But what this lets you do is this lets you limit access to your Equifax file, with a few exceptions, with a click on the computer or a swipe on the cell phone. So it's a very easy way to open and close your credit file to keep someone out who doesn't belong being in there, which would be the bad guys. And quite honestly, I talked to a number of identity thefts people, and they basically said that obviously that's a lot better than doing nothing, which is where most Americans are right now, who don't have anything on their credit file. And what that means is that if someone gets a hold of your Social Security number, they can then, and you know, they're all floating around now thanks to Equifax and all the other breaches, that they can go in and open new accounts in your name. They can go in and open a credit card account, a bank account, they can go rent an apartment, they can go start a cell phone account, they can start a cable account, anything that requires a credit check, they can go in and take over your account because they have the Social Security number. You cannot open a new account, you cannot get new credit if you have the account frozen or if you have the account locked through this new Lock and Alert service. The one benefit of this is, as I said, it's easy, it's free, and Equifax is guaranteeing at this point in time that it will be free forever. So they've right out and said that this is what they're going to offer, this free service. They also said those who sign up will not be bound by the company's mandatory arbitration clause for other Equifax products, which had a lot of consumer advocates upset when they first offered a free credit freeze. So this, if there were a problem, you still have your right to sue and join with others in a class action lawsuit if there were some problem down the road. So that's basically what they've launched and what they're doing.
How do you feel about this service, Herb?
Well, first of all, it's interesting. I don't know if you read the article. My wife tried to sign up.
Right. Tell everybody about that.
That was very interesting. Yeah. I didn't do it because I already have my account frozen, so I couldn't do it. So she tried, and God on it, took a couple of minutes to do everything, and then we got this error message that basically said, sorry, we're experiencing technical issues. Please try again later. We tried a number of other times. She contacted Equifax and talked to customer service, and they said, you should all be signed up. In 24 to 48 hours, you'll receive an email that will tell you what to do, a log-on link to log on. You'll log on, then you'll be fine. Waited the 48 hours, and then some. Never got the email from Equifax, so she just tried to log on again and was able to make it on this time.
Four or five times trying, not getting the email, just going back to try one more time, she got in.
She got in. She locked the account real quickly. A number of people there have been reports of people having problems doing this, and there must be, because when you go to the phone tree of Equifax, it says push 1 if you're having trouble with technical difficulties with Lock and Alert. So obviously they've been having some problems, and they admit that it was a new product rolled out, and they're having some problems. But once we got it working, I mean, I just sat there and went with my mouse on, off, and it was for. And then you get an alert. It tells you on your phone, and it tells you on how you have it set up, and it tells you on your desktop that you just open the account or close the account, so you instantaneously know what's going on with the account, which is really, really good. The only significant difference is between the freeze and the lock is a freeze is guaranteed by law. So it's the government says you have to provide this service for people. The lock is provided by the credit bureau, and they set the terms and conditions. They can change the terms and conditions at any time. And at least with Equifax, they say that they may use your information to market you financial products or to sell or share with their other companies, their partners who work with them, to sell you financial products. So that has some consumer people upset, but it's certainly, in my book, a whole lot better if people would do this because it's free, which is encouraging to do that, than do absolutely nothing, because with a freeze in many places in many states, it is going to cost you money, up to $10 to freeze it and $10 to open it every time you want to do something. This way it's free. So it's a much, much better solution than doing nothing.
Well, you also talk about TransUnion and Experian, and
yes.
TransUnion offers a similar service, a lock service, but Experian doesn't.
Yes, so you got to remember that this is every credit bureau. There's the three big ones, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian. They're all independently run, and just by doing this at Equifax, which I would encourage all of your listeners to do that, if you don't do a freeze, at least do the lock. It doesn't take care of TransUnion. It doesn't take care of Equifax. TransUnion has a very similar product, which is called True Identity, and signed up for that one as well, and that was very simple. It worked the first time and no problem whatsoever, so that'll take care of, again, somebody opening a brand new account in your name. Experian, we check with them. They do not offer any product like this, and as far as I can tell, have no plan to do it at this time. So your only option with Experian is to, if you want to freeze the account and lock it up that way. Isn't going to stop all identity theft. There are still a lot of things bad guys can do with your Social Security numbers. They can file a fraudulent tax return. They can try to take over your medical account. They can try to take over your existing accounts by using all of your personal information that's flying around on the dark web. But this is at least one of the only proactive things that you can do to try to shut them down from doing some damage to you. And I highly suggest anyone listening seriously thinks about doing this. And I think very few people have actually, they throw their hands up in the air and go, well, all the information's out there, why should bother? Trust me, you should bother. Somebody gets into your, opens a credit card account in your name, it's going to be a big hassle. It's going to take you a long time to straighten everything out. Try to lock the barn door before the horse gets out.
There you go. So lock and alert is recommended if you're not going to do a freeze. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right, Herb Weissbaum is with us, and he's here to help you out. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Any questions that you have that are consumer issues or your related or concerns, 312-981-7200. We'll continue with Herb right after we break for the news, which is coming up next. All right. Hey, welcome. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Going to be a very, very busy morning with the weather situation that's happening right now, and we will keep you up to date on what's happening in terms of traffic, in terms of weather, in terms of how this is impacting your day. So we're constantly checking things out, and we'll be doing it all day and all night, as we always do when anything happens in the city. So there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Fly jam requests for a little bit later on. All of our regular Friday features are coming up. You big dummy, straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday, the anti-Valentine's Day edition. If you're making requests later on, they have to be either heartbreak songs or anti-Valentine's Day Fly Jams. We'll do that. And we're going to be talking about some board games and some weird versions of Monopoly. All of that and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can check us out on Twitter. At Nick D Show, that's how you follow us, or the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Herb Weissbaum is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out his website at consumerman.com, and he is here to talk about some consumer stories and issues. And if you have questions, it's 312-981-7200. Herb, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell everybody how they can get your newsletter.
Just go to the website you mentioned, consumerman.com, and sign up right there. You give me your name, your email address, and every week I'll send you out the stories I do, and you'll get an idea of what's going on and keep up to date with things. Don't sell it. Don't share it. It's just between you and me.
There you go. Go to consumerman.com. Sign up for the newsletter now, which is a great thing. Before we get into our next story, you were born in Philadelphia, so did you watch the game Sunday?
How about those Eagles?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I watched it from the pregame show all the way to the end. It was unbelievable.
It really was an unbelievable Super Bowl. I didn't have I didn't have a horse in the race at all, but it was such a great football game. It was back and forth. It was really exciting all the way until the very end. And, you know, I was rooting for the Eagles because I always root for the underdog. And
Well, my family still lives in Philly.
Yeah.
So they were thrilled. And here's a very short story. When I was growing up, the previous owner of the Eagles, a gentleman by the name of Leonard Tose, owned the Eagles. He lived in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. He came to my father's drugstore, and every year he would give us a football, a game ball, that was signed by the entire Eagles team.
Wow!
And my brother, I know, still has a couple of them, like Sonny Jurgensen was on there and some of the famous Eagle players from way back when.
Yeah.
But so we have quite the little connection with the Eagles from our personal experience with Mr. Toes.
Yeah, well, congratulations, man. That's great. And it's their first Super Bowl in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, and yeah. I was going to celebrate by setting a dumpster on fire, but I couldn't find one near my house. So I wanted to get into the whole
Did you watch some of that footage, Herb? Did you watch some of your...
I did. I saw that awning come down on the Ritz-Carlton, and I was like, oh, my God.
I don't... You know, it's so insane. It's so crazy. Did you see...
I was in that once. I was home visiting my mom in her car, driving her car when Villanova had won some basketball championship.
Yeah.
I had no idea because I had just flown in from Seattle, and I'm driving down the main campus road, and they're setting fires and on the light post, and I almost flipped my car over, and it was and it wasn't my car; it was Mom's. Like, oh, so that can get a little bit out of hand very, very quickly.
Those Phillies, the Philly fans are something, man. I got to tell you, they're insane. They've always had a reputation for every sport, not just football. Yeah. For every sport, they've had a reputation for doing crazy stuff. And I have to
celebrate. You have some pizza, some beer, and we go out and set dumpsters on fire.
Yeah, and flip cars over and knock down awnings at the Ritz-Carlton. And also, did you see the guy eat horse poop?
I certainly did. Only in Philadelphia. That's why we're the city of brotherly love.
I was just like, you're celebrating your football team's Super Bowl victory by eating horse dung? What?
I turned to my wife and said, do you know how much bacteria is in that? That's E. coli.
Yeah. I kept saying, though, you know, like, okay, please don't burn down Pats, whatever you do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right.
All right, Herb. Well, congratulations to the Eagles.
Thank you very much.
Okay. A fascinating, fascinating story here, Herb. You talked with a former identity thief who is now helping to fight the crimes that he pretty much perfected. Guy's name is Brett Shannon Johnson, and wow, what a crazy story with the arrests and the skipping town and getting arrested again. And tell everybody about this guy.
Sure. He wants to be the Frank Abagnale, the catch me if you can, of cybercrime, a guy who was in the business and now has reformed and is trying to stop from what he did. He's an amazing guy. He actually came to Seattle a week ago, and I got to meet him in person besides talking to him on the phone for my NBC story. Just a gregarious guy, bigger than life. He's very, very tall, just a big guy.
Yeah.
And he was a convicted identity thief. He was once on the U.S. Marshals secret, the U.S. Secret Service's most wanted list. He made millions developing online fraud techniques. He created some of the major crime syndicates that turned into the dark web. He says he's the guy that came up with the idea of filing Social Security, using dead people's Social Security numbers to file for tax returns before the computers matched up dead people with people filing for refunds on their IRS forms. He spent 6 years behind bars. He was let out of prison by the Secret Service to work for them, just like they did with Frank Abagnale, the FBI did, you know, teach us the tricks, what was going on. And he was working for them during the day and then committing cybercrime during the evening. They busted him for that. He went on the lam, was on the run for a while, and eventually spent 6 years behind bars. And to hear him talk about the crime is the value to your listeners. And I asked him about the state of cybercrime, what's happening, what's going on, and how we can protect ourselves. And you have the little interview with a little clip of it right there.
All right, let's hear it.
Cybercrime is not rocket science anymore. These days, a criminal can go in, someone who has no experience at all, he can take classes. They actually teach classes on how to commit these crimes. He can buy tutorials. He can partner up with other people and commit these crimes. All the tools they use are basically off-the-shelf products. There are websites you can go to that for $2.90, you can buy someone's social. You can buy their date of birth. All right. Once you have the social and date of birth for under $3, then you go to any number of legal background sites. You pull the background check on the person. The background check gives you enough information along with the social and the date of birth to pull the credit report on the person. You basically have the entire identity profile of whoever you want to victimize. And at that point in time, doors wide open. You can order new account cards, replacement cards, set up bank accounts, take over existing accounts, commit tax fraud, any number of things like that you can engage in.
Does the Equifax breach make it easier for identity thieves, or was so much information and so many socials out there already that it's really not going to change the landscape from the criminal's point of view?
The information has been out there. What the Equifax breach did was is they made sure that all the information is now consolidated And you're guaranteed, if you're a criminal, you're guaranteed that the information is correct. All right. And that is priceless to a criminal. Before, a criminal would buy information and he was never sure if all the information that was there was correct. You know, the address, or maybe there was a digit off in the social or the date of birth or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Equifax data, now you know everything is correct. Realize that almost all security systems are set up on what's called KBA, knowledge-based authentication. So Equifax, that data allows whatever criminal has that data in his possession to take over any account that he wants to take over. He can file tax returns. He can take over Social Security accounts. He can file student loans. He can take over credit accounts, set up bank accounts, commit crime after that. Any specific thing that he wants to do, he's now able to do.
Looking down the road at cybercrime, is it going to get worse before it gets better?
I'm not sure it's going to get better. It will get increasingly worse because of the ease of entry in cybercrime. You have an exponential amount of more people that are entering into that environment. The numbers are just continuing to increase.
Wow, that's scary, Herb.
Very, very, very scary. And when he was here in Seattle, I had a chance to spend some time with him. He said, as far as he can tell by searching the dark web, that the information that was stolen from Equifax has not yet been dumped for sale to criminals all across the globe. He said, and a lot of times they sit on this stuff. They can sit on it for, I've had cases where they've sat on the information for a year or more for whatever reason mm-hmm. they're doing. He said, once that is dumped, once that gets out in the criminal world and they have all this information, as he said, when you call into a bank account or a credit card, they ask you certain questions. You log online. Where did you last live? Where did you have a mortgage with this company? What credit card do you have? That's all those files. So it's going to be that anybody who has that information could pretend to be you. We're going to get ourselves in a very untenable situation here where anybody can pretend to be you and have all the knowledge to do it. I find that incredibly scary.
Yeah. Now, what do they have him doing to fight these crimes?
Well, what he's doing now is he's got his own company that he started. He's working with a number of the high-tech companies and trying to do that, giving lectures to kids about how to be cyber safe, trying to just spread the word and help companies figure out the kind of tricks that cyber attackers are using in order to try to help combat the thing. Just like Frank Abagnale, when he was with the FBI, he was trying to help them stop check fraud because he was the expert on
right.
check fraud. Who else to help you do that kind of thing?
Right.
It was interesting when I asked him one question. I said, were you ever sorry for your victims? Because he took in millions of dollars. And he said, no, I never thought about my victims at all, because to me the victims were the banks or the government or the credit card companies or something like that. And he said, of course, we all wind up paying for that crime. But he said, I never once thought about the person who had the account and the trouble I caused and that sort of thing. He said, I just figured I was, creating problems for them. He started crime at 10 years old, he told me, and financed his first marriage wedding with by having a fake automobile accident and then doing insurance fraud, and then he worked himself up into doing all the stuff online. But he says it is incredibly easy to do. It doesn't take a whole lot of skill set at this point in time. And when he ran the dark web, when they busted his dark web, the predecessor to it, he had something like 4,000 people who were members of this gang. And he said they just busted one about a year ago, and he said they had something like 240,000 members. So that gives you some idea of the growth industry that cybercrime has become.
Well, it's interesting how that, because reading the article, you were talking about how he was 10 years old and he was shoplifting and he started,
yep.
But online, when he started ripping people off on eBay, that was one of the early things that he did.
Where
he would sell items that didn't exist.
Correct. And then, figured that most people didn't know what to do or where to go or whatever. And they had no contact information for him. And then he just kept working his way up. He did fake gift cards. He made bogus credit cards. He did stuff online. He sold. He basically did the whole ball of wax. So, and one other quick thing, because I'm sure you have to go to commercial break, but with the Olympics starting now, it is going to be gold medal time for cyber criminals all across the globe. And they're going to send out links and attachments and look at this and look at Lindsey Vonn and see what she did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
and they're going to load all, this is like the Super Bowl for them. And they're just going to have a field day getting malicious software onto people's computers. Please, please be safe. Don't click on links. Don't open attachments, because you could really just mess up your computer and be into a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, just be very, very careful. I want to mention that this guy got busted 13 years ago, and the technology 13 years ago was a lot less advanced than it is now, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so now it's even easier. And this guy got busted 13 years ago.
Yeah, and he was actually, you know, doing the stuff on his own. As he said, now they have, you can go online and buy these kits that you just modify to your own purposes. He said, you know, they even have, like, customer service departments for these
wow.
you know, criminal outlets and to help you do it and teach you how to do it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It really is.
Where we are right now. It's pretty scary stuff.
By the way, online, his nickname was Gullum Fun. For some reason, yeah. I find that.
And the FBI called him the original Internet Godfather. That was the moniker that they have for him.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think Spielberg needs to make another movie. That's what I'm saying.
I asked him if he wanted to play the part. He had some funny name, but I can't remember who it was.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, cool. Herb, hang on, all right?
You got it.
Okay, cool. Fascinating stuff right there. And you can read the whole story at consumerman.com. It is really, really fascinating story. And he's helping people out now, trying to stop what he basically kind of started. Fascinating. All right. If you have any issues with consumer stuff, if you have a question or a concern, 312-981-7200. Call now or text now. Herb's going to be with us for a few more minutes. And if you have a question or a concern consumer-wise, 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Herb Weisbaum right here on 720. WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on Friday morning, a very snowy Friday morning. If you don't have to go out, don't stay in. Hibernate for the next few days. We're getting up to maybe 15 inches of snow. We will keep you posted on everything that's happening weather-related and how it affects you and how it affects what's happening in and around the Chicagoland area. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. It's Friday morning. That means Fly Jams Friday, the anti-Valentine's Day edition coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show spies and a new fresh batch of dummies for you, big dummy. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You have questions about consumer issues. Herb Weisbaum is an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. His website is ConsumerMan.com. You can follow him on Facebook at ConsumerMan and on Twitter at TheConsumerMan. And let's welcome Herb back. Welcome back, Herb.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's talk about the story about job referrals and how they can hurt a company's diversity. It's something you wrote about.
Yeah, this was very interesting. It was done by a Seattle company called PayScale. They're a company that tracks compensation for other companies all across the country. And they found, you know, a lot of people get a job by a job referral. I mean, I've been referred for jobs, and it's very helpful. Knowing the right person can sometimes make all the difference in the world.
Sure, yeah.
But their survey found that this could be a double-edged sword, because what happens is it can speed up the hiring process, but it can also, for companies who rely too heavily on these, have the unintended consequence of creating a less diverse workforce. You know, if everybody in your company is, if it's not a diverse workforce and white people are just referring white people or men are just referring men or whatever, it makes it harder to get diversity in the workforce, because you tend to know the people you know and refer them in the job referral. So that was basically the point of this study, that, you know, if you are trying to diversify your workforce, which is a goal that most companies have these days, it can really be a problem if you rely too heavily on these referrals. And what they found is referrals, they surveyed 53,000 workers across the country online between April and August, and they found that referrals overwhelmingly benefit white men more than any other demographic group. About 44% of all referrals are white men, just 22% are white women. It was interesting because I talked to the person who wrote the report, who said to me, I don't think this is because of discriminatory basis. They're not necessarily trying to discriminate. It's just because of this factor of knowing who you know does not, and everybody referring who they know may not get you diversity in the workplace. They found that, holding everything else constant, women of any race and men of color much less likely to receive referrals than their male counterparts. White women, 12% likely, less likely. Men of color, 26% less likely. And women of color, 35% less likely to be referred. So it can be tempting to lean on these referrals, but if you're relying on it too heavily, it can certainly get you in a situation where you don't want to be.
And I also was looking at some of the numbers here. Men expect to be paid $8,200 more, while the bump for women is just $3,700.
And that's if they're referred, yes, and that's if they're referred by somebody who works at the company. It was interesting, they found out that if you were referred by somebody who is at the company, as opposed to or a colleague or somebody at the company, as opposed to just being referred to by family or friends, you wind up getting some more money than if you were referred to by somebody at the company. So, you know, so family referral doesn't seem to do that much. That got you about $1,600 less in the salary you were offered than somebody who was referred to by a former worker or a colleague or a client. But again, when they are, men can get a $8,200 bump and women about $3,700. So still a big, very big disparity in the marketplace when it comes to this sort of thing.
Wow. You're not discouraged. People aren't discouraging companies to take referrals. It's just be aware that if you're looking to diversify, this might not be the way to go.
Right, and as she suggested, or go out of your comfort zone. You know, if you always don't just look at your people, maybe you go out to colleges where there's a black college. Maybe you go out to a school where there's minorities. If you make sure you get to groups that represent women, you know, spread the news, spread the word around. Just don't put a Facebook post out there and hope for the best, or just talk to a couple of employees. You have to make a conscientious effort if you want to diversify the workplace. Only 35% of the people do get their job through a referral. Most people don't. It was biggest in the construction industry, believe it or not, which actually, I guess, makes sense. And not as high as everybody always thinks. The tech industry, it's so male because guys are referring their other friends. The tech industry is basically equal to the rest of the country. About 35% of referrals in the tech industry, jobs result from referrals in the tech industry. So I was very surprised living here in Seattle about that finding.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, you can read this whole article and talk about the pay scale report. PayScale did this, correct?
Yes, correct. PayScale, they're a company here in Seattle.
Okay. All right, and you can check that out at consumerman.com. Before we let you go, Herb, it's tax time.
Yep.
And we can talk about this a little bit more next month or as we get closer to the deadline. But people are, you know, again, the commercials are starting to, you know, well, they started right after the new year.
Sure.
With, hey, you can do it on your phone. You can file your taxes on the phone. And there's tons of commercials about that. And I'm always kind of leery about that. And how, you know, in your estimation, how safe is that?
Well, the question is, how safe is your phone? How secure is your phone? Most people don't have any kind of protection on their phone, software protection on their phones whatsoever, and the criminals are now using all kinds of viruses and bad things on phones, just malware on phones, just like they're doing on your desktop. So, you know, if your phone is compromised, that could be a very dangerous thing to do. If you're using Wi-Fi at the coffee shop to upload your tax form, that could be a very bad situation. So if you're going to do something like that, you really got to be careful and make, you know, there are programs you can put in your phone, free ones that they keep your phone clean, but you got to think twice before you do that kind of thing. The number one tip we're giving out people now is, because a bad guy's trying to file tax forms in your name, file your return as quickly as you can once you have all your paperwork. A lot of people put it off till the very end. Don't put it off till the end, because the way the IRS works is first in, first one that gets processed. If a bad guy gets in with your Social Security number before you do, you're the one who's going to have to prove to the IRS you're a victim of fraud. It could take 6 months to a year to get your refund. So, you know, you can't do it until you get all your paperwork, but once you get your paperwork, file right away. That's the biggest way you can protect yourself from tax identity fraud.
Okay, that's the best way to do it. All right, Herb, always a pleasure. You can check out Herb, subscribe to his newsletter. Website is consumerman.com. You can also cover the Consumer Beat at NBCNews.com. Follow him on Facebook at ConsumerMan and on Twitter at TheConsumerMan. So there you go. All right, Herb, always a pleasure. Congratulations to the Eagles again.
Thank you. It's always the highlight of my month. And just so you know, my wife and I have decided we're once again this year, no Valentine's Day cards.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
It's a Hallmark holiday. We love each other 365.
That's right. That's the way it's got to be. All right, Herb.
Amen, brother.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next month. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. He's the best. Check him out at consumerman.com, and he'll join us again next month for more consumer stories and helping you out. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up, and then we're going to talk about weird variations on Monopoly and board games in general, plus we get all the Friday features started as well. News is coming up next.